It's the Brady and the Bunch podcast, presented by 101.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back. It's the Brady and the Bunch podcast. Today is Thursday, April 25th, joined in studio by a special guest, maybe not our youngest listener, but one of our youngest listeners. We're joined in studio by Maddie Amati, who is an eighth grader in the Essex School District.
Essex Junction, yes.
Essex Junction. And people get very offended when you say it's Essex and not Essex Junction. So I've been told that before. I did an interview once with somebody from Essex Junction, and I said Essex native, and they yelled at me, and I had to go back in after the interview and edit it. So I will not make that same mistake again. So in the Essex Junction School District. So Maddie, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. So eighth grade, you have actually listened to all of the Brady and the Bunch podcasts. Is that by your own choice, or did mom and dad make that happen before the interview?
Yeah, you know, my dad introduced me to them. I've listened to a fair amount of them.
And okay.
Yeah. I find them super interesting.
Well, they are interesting in their own way. Perfect way to suck up to the host. That's good, too. So that's always good. And you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker. Now, are you a big listener of The Huddle as well, or do mom and dad force you into that also?
You know, between school and extracurriculars and everything, it's...
We're the only extracurricular that matters. That's it.
You know, it's hard for me to find a lot of time to listen, given when it's on, but... Occasionally.
The reason why you are here, the reason why you wanted to be on the podcast, and the reason why your parents suggested you be on the podcast is because you are a big broadcasting fan. In addition to being a big sports fan in the area, you are a big fan of broadcasting and sports media. So kind of tell me, as an eighth grader, why do you know this is what you want to do?
So I have always been a huge UVM men's basketball fan and women's basketball fan. And from a young age, I've always been a talker, and I've loved to talk, and so I've always loved to talk about UVM sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like it was kind of the perfect marriage of both of those things was sports broadcast.
Now I used to get in trouble a lot, and your dad's in the studio now, so I'm looking at him as I say this. Every parent teacher conference, every report card, in the additional comments section was always talks too much. So it worked out for me okay talking a lot, so it can work out for you also. So what drew you to be a UVM fan? Did you just go to games a lot when you were growing up? Was it a particular player, a particular moment? Why are you such a big UVM fan?
So both my grandparents went to UVM, and then my dad and my mom went to UVM, and they met there. And as they went there, they became huge fans of the basketball teams, both basketball teams. And so they've kind of raised me in the stands of UVM basketball. And so because of that, I've become a huge fan.
Now, you are wearing a Letterman's jacket that looks like it's straight out of the television show Happy Days, which you are far too young to even know what Happy Days is, but Dad knows what I'm talking about. So it is a really, really throwback Letterman's jacket. Where did you acquire this?
So my grandfather was actually the manager of the baseball team in the 60s.
Wow.
So this is an authentic Letterman jacket that he gave me for Christmas last year.
So do you wear that around, or is this only special occasions?
Special occasions. You know, I wore it to the selection show for the basketball team this year, and, you know, special occasions.
When you watch UVM men's basketball, how far back does your memory go?
Well, I mean, so I was at the Syracuse game in Worcester as a baby.
Okay.
I mean, I slept through the whole thing, but I was there. And so obviously it doesn't go back that far. But I remember games from, you know, 10.
So our buddy Mike Trimboli, do you remember Trimboli?
A little bit. You know, we actually ran into him at the championship this year. My dad kind of knows him.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I played against Trimboli in the Burlington Y League with Arnie. He went for 54 on us. So even at 30 plus, he still got it. So he's very good.
He's a 3-point shooter. I remember that.
I learned that all too well.
Yeah.
So the news came out, and a week ago, Anthony Lamb declared for the NBA draft. But he did the same thing that Tre'Vell Haynes did a couple years ago, where he's going to put his name in for the draft, but he could still come back to UVM. When you hear that news, what do you think about that?
I think it's awesome. I think, you know, these players working their entire career, that's what they're working up to do. I hope he plays for us next year.
Yeah.
But if he makes the NBA, I mean, even better. But it's kind of worked out for Trey. I mean, playing in the summer league and now for the Bucks affiliate, it's
good. He played in the summer league for the Milwaukee Bucks, and he went overseas, played in Germany, and now he's back and has played at the end of the year this year with the Bucks affiliate also. So, you know, it's really cool, and I'm not from the area originally, so you being a UVM fan will know this more than I do, but we're at the point now where a lot of UVM graduates are able to play professionally, and that wasn't always the case, so the program has continued to really grow.
Yeah, and I mean, ever since I kind of was following it, they've been good. Yeah. My parents like to joke with me that I haven't had to struggle yet.
Are you also a Patriots and Red Sox fan? Because you haven't known any struggle at all if you're also fans of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Red Sox fan. I don't really know anything about them.
Okay.
But I just call myself a Red Sox fan.
So are you only really a basketball fan, or only really just a local sports fan in general?
I would say really just a UVM basketball fan, specifically. I mean, I follow a little bit of other basketball teams within the conference and things like that. But specifically UVM. Definitely.
Do you follow local sports in general really closely?
Not specifically.
So
really.
It's only just UVM?
It really is just UVM, yeah.
And that's just because of the association you've had with them throughout your whole life. So if I could tell you now, if I could ask you, what's the dream job? If someday you were doing the dream thing, what would it be?
I think I would love to be a feature interviewer for ESPN.
Really?
I would love to
but then
that.
You'd have to know more than UVM.
Yes. I'm working on it. I'm working on trying to broaden my sports.
That's what my brother does, actually. My brother works at ESPN in Bristol, and he's 23 right now, so he's kind of starting out, but he's a producer there, and he works on all of their podcasts, and he works on, it's called the Sporting Life podcast, but have you ever heard of 30 for 30 or things like that, or E60?
Yep.
He works with one of the guys that puts on E60. He does his podcast. So it's basically a radio version of E60. So it's all about storytelling and interactive features and things like that.
Yeah, that's super cool. I mean, that is my dream, yeah.
Now, do you play sports?
Yeah, so I'm a soccer player.
Okay.
And I'm also a figure skater.
Really?
It's a weird combination.
Triple sow cow?
Not quite.
Double toe?
I can do a single toe.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't been on skates in probably 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, that has been my main sport since I was 4.
Is there competitive figure skating in the area?
Yeah, so over at Letty in Burlington. Yep, that's where I do most of my competing.
So how does it work? I mean, are you on a team of other people locally and you travel and compete against other teams? Is it all individual and 15 girls also from the Burlington area do it, or people come from all over New England? How does it work?
So it's pretty individual, but people come from all over New England. I mean, a girl I was competing against at this recent competition was from Barrie.
Oh, wow.
So all over New England, though.
So what drew you to figure skating? Because that's a sport that you don't hear a lot of people involved in.
Yeah. So, I mean, at Essex is where I skate usually. And it was kind of something that my mom signed me up for. And we joke, I mean, I had a meltdown the first day.
Why?
I was just, you know, I was nervous about getting on the ice. And then I got on, and I did not want to get off.
How old were you when you learned?
How to skate?
Yeah.
I was probably 6 by the time I could, like, officially skate a lap without touching the wall.
Well, I remember when I learned how to skate, you had a, like, a paint bucket that you had to hold on to, and then you would go on. You were skating, so I wasn't holding on to anybody, but you had this bucket that you were just pushing across the ice, and that's how I learned.
Yeah, I mean, I started off using crates, milk crates.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah, and that's what we would use to make sure we didn't fall.
I learned how to skate on figure skates, though, because the difference between figure skates and hockey skates is the toe pick of figure skates as opposed to the rounded edge of hockey skates. So it was much easier to stop on figure skates because you could just raise up your foot and catch that toe pick. I have not been on hockey skates. I've only been on hockey skates probably 4 or 5 times in my life. Figure skates are far easier.
I actually had never tried hockey skates until a few weeks ago.
Really? How could you stop?
It was a struggle.
Yeah.
It was a real struggle. they're very different, especially being used to figure skates.
Now, tell me about, you had a very cool experience this year. You were at the UVM women's basketball game, and you actually acted as a, I don't know if it's a color commentator, a sideline reporter, but our friend Maura Sheridan, who used to intern at this station, she's the voice of the UVM women's basketball team, and she let you on the broadcast. So how did that work?
So it was actually for National Women's in Sports Day.
Okay.
And so there were a bunch of girls doing jobs around Patrick Gym, whether it was, you know, doing the tickets or helping out with the PA, that kind of thing. I applied to do the color commentary because that felt like what would suit me best. And so I got that position for the day, And yeah, I got to do the color alongside Maura, and she let me do some sideline reporting after the game. It was a really, really cool experience.
Now, you did an interview after the game. I forget with which player, though.
Josie Larkins.
Were you nervous?
Yeah, so I was a little bit nervous, but I loved it. I absolutely loved every second of it. And doing the interview after, I think, was definitely my favorite part. And it kind of came naturally.
How much preparation did you do before that game? Because, look, it takes us to do a three-hour radio show. It takes us about 3 hours of prep time every day. Some people think that we just show up and just talk. But, no, it takes a lot of research, actually. How much research did it take you that day?
So I printed out the box scores from the past, like, two games before that one. And so I kind of looked over those a little bit and saw what our struggles were and what we were really good at and what we need to continue to do.
First rule of broadcasting, don't say we.
Yes.
That's what I'm here to teach you. Don't say we.
Yeah. I
you don't need to be nervous. I'm just messing with you. I mean, it is they when you're on the broadcast, but it can be we for this conversation.
Yeah, I looked over the stats so that I knew how to talk about them when I was, doing the color.
So, who did they play that day? Was it Albany? I don't know why I thought it was Albany.
I don't know. I know they won.
Okay. No, they won. Well, that's good. At least they won. They just hired Elisa Kresge as the official head coach of the women's basketball program.
I'm very happy.
Why is that?
We
had her on once and she was great, but I don't know her personally, probably like you do because you go to a lot of games.
Yeah, I loved her from the beginning. Back when Chris Day was coaching, she was like the coach I kind of was drawn to, and I always thought she was amazing and really good with the girls and harsh when she needed to be. But, yeah, I think she's going to make a real difference for the program.
So as someone who has loved UVM basketball for a decade plus now, how are you going to feel when Patrick Gym is no longer where they play?
I think I'm one of the few people that's going to be kind of sad.
Really? Why is that?
Well, I mean, I'm excited to have a new arena, and I think that that's going to help. Hopefully it helps with recruiting and things like that, and we can sustain a really good program. But I feel a connection with Patrick Gym, and there's an energy in there that I just love.
More comfortable seats at the new place.
Yeah, and that'll be a perk. But I'm young. I like the bleachers.
I like the bleachers, too, and I actually like sitting at the top because there's less traffic down when you're at the
really?
Top.
Really? I always feel like I get a headache sitting up there.
No, see, I like it because sitting at the bottom is cool and it's fun to be court level. I mean, that's great, but all the people walking up and down, people say, I'm really, really tall, so people down in front. So I prefer sitting at the top up there by myself. As long as I can rest my back against the wall, then I'm good with it.
And the new arena, I think people will enter from the top. Like
yes,
most
it's going to be. It's. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be great, but I do understand kind of the romanticism of Patrick Gym.
I mean, I'll quote them. It is time. So it's time for a new one. But
how's your parents feel about it?
They're excited.
They're
very excited.
It's not often that you see the kid be the one who is a little hesitant and the parents be the ones who are like, let's do it.
Yeah, I feel like they've had enough of Patrick Gym. They love it and they feel a connection to it. But They're excited to be able to have some seats.
Now, you are such a big UVM fan that you've actually, in a way, named your family dog after a UVM basketball experience.
Yes. So our dog's name is Milwaukee.
Milwaukee has very little to do with UVM, so I'm interested in hearing the tie-in.
And we call her Millie. But she is named after the location of the 2017 UVM NCAA first round in the NCAA. When they played Purdue, yes.
So if it had been a boy dog, would you have named it Bradley because it was at the Bradley Center?
We actually did not think of that. But that is a good idea.
So if you got a new dog this year, would you name it Hartford?
I don't know. We joked about that. We're not going to get any other dog.
You're going to get a. You should get a dog, Dad. Write this down. A dog for every Catamount appearance.
I would love that. I'm not sure he's on board with that, and he's not a huge cat person either. So we might just stick with one family dog.
You should get a dog and name it Catamount.
That would be something.
So what kind of dog is Milwaukee?
She is a golden doodle.
A golden doodle?
Yes.
Why? Why that dog? Just because? Or is there a reason? Because those are hypoallergenic dogs. They don't shed. So is that the reason why you had to get a golden doodle?
Yep. That was our criteria. Is it needed to be hypoallergenic? And
are you allergic?
I am not. My dad is. Though.
Okay.
Very allergic. We had a basset hound before. and it was a struggle.
Ooh, sorry, Dad. But I'm glad Millie is good for you. So it is the Brady and the Bunch podcast on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. If you want to be on the podcast, as Maddie is, you can email me, brady@101.3thegame.com. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Spreaker, and you can subscribe to us there. Give us a 5-star rating. Maddie, I always give the guest co-host a chance to ask me a couple questions. Anything that they want to know, whether it's about our show or about the station or about the people we work with or the things that we've done or the things that I've done. So if you have any questions about the business and you're looking to get into, feel free to ask now.
Yeah, so I actually myself have kind of an interest in starting a podcast.
Okay.
It's been an interest of mine for a while. I'm wondering kind of how do you prepare for one?
How do I prepare for just actually doing the podcast or in terms of what equipment is needed, like from all that stuff?
Doing the podcast.
Okay, so doing the podcast, first thing is you need to think about what can you do that nobody else is doing. Because there's a lot of competition out there for people's time. So, look, I know a lot about the Red Sox. I know a lot about the Patriots. But there are people out there that used to play for the Red Sox, that used to play for the Patriots. There are writers that know about the Red Sox and the Patriots far better than me because they're around the team every day. So why would I do a Red Sox or Patriots podcast considering that I will be the 30th option for somebody who's looking for that content? Okay, so what can you bring to the table that no one else is doing that kind of makes you stand out above everybody else? So my guess for you would be, you know, a podcast for you that I would think would work would be if I did an America East podcast or yeah. I did a UVM podcast. There's not too many of those things out there. So you might be one of the only people doing that. So in terms of picking a podcast topic, I always think about it like that. Like nobody else is doing a podcast where we talk to listeners in the Champlain Valley. This podcast is unique. So anyone who is ever interested in this subject matter can only get it here. That's why I enjoy doing this. And I thought about doing podcasts for, again, Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, anything. And it just, again, I'm going to be the 30th option for that.
Yeah.
So this format gives us a chance to be the only option. So that's it. And then figure out, okay, what are we offering that no one else is? And then how can we make it worthwhile for someone's time? Because, again, you can listen to the radio. You can listen, you know, if you're in your car, listen to the radio. Talk on the phone. Talk with someone who's with you. If it's Dad's case, you know, and you've got young kids, you got the kids crying, things like that. You know, you're thinking about work the next, you know, what's going on at work. So people are very distracted. So what can I do to hook you to make the listener feel like, okay, this is worthwhile of my investment of time. So would it be, okay, can we get interviews? Can we do interviews that no one else can get? Can we do game previews that no one else can do? Things like that. So I think it's more about figuring what is our niche and what can we do to make us the best in that niche.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And helpful, I think, if I decide to start a podcast.
What would you do with the podcast on, or have you not figured it out yet?
I have not figured it out yet, but I think UVM Sports would be a good option for me.
Just don't air it 6 to 7 on Tuesdays when it competes with...
I will not do that.
When it competes with the Cats Den, so... But you know what? It's a lot of fun, and it's good because here's the thing that I like about this, too, or about your idea, at least. Local sports is something that is a niche following. That's what we call it. It's a niche following. There are a lot of people out there that care about local sports, but more people care about the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Bruins, the Celtics, things like that. But the group that cares about local sports cares very passionately about it.
Yeah.
So when I first started in this business and I worked at UAlbany and I worked at a radio station that covered UAlbany, I would talk to anybody that wanted to talk to me, basically. The radio show at my station didn't talk about local sports at all. So I did not a podcast, but I would do interviews and put them online where I would talk with UAlbany women's basketball, UAlbany men's basketball, talk with some of the players. We had a couple local kids that were from our area that played at UAlbany. I talked with UAlbany field hockey, got to the Final Four, and I did an interview. UAlbany men's soccer, things like that. Things that I knew people cared about and they weren't getting from our station. So I think the more coverage that UVM Sports gets is great. A lot of talk about UVM men and women's hockey, a lot of talk about UVM men and women's basketball, but you know, we do talk UVM men's soccer, men's lacrosse, but not as much as there is an interest for, probably. So definitely a good idea. So do you have any other questions?
Yeah. So you're not originally from Vermont.
Correct.
Has there been anything that has surprised you about UVM sports, especially coming from Albany, which is kind of our rival?
Good question. Things that have surprised me about UVM sports, I guess I would say, I've never really been around a Division I hockey program before. They have it in Albany. You know, RPI and Union are both Division I programs, but I was not really involved with them at all. So just kind of the passion behind Hockey East Division I hockey has been very interesting, and the players that consistently come in and out of Gutterson Fieldhouse, whether they play for UVM or play for an opponent. And then I'm also, I wouldn't say this is surprising, I'm happy to see that UVM can be regionally and in some cases nationally competitive across more than just their two main sports. I know that the money at UVM goes into hockey and basketball. That's where the bread is buttered, okay, on both the men and the women's side. But it's nice to see that the first year that I got here that UVM men's soccer can play in an NCAA tournament game, win it at home, and then go take Virginia to overtime in that game. Or to see that UVM men's lacrosse can beat UAlbany a couple weeks ago, a UAlbany team that's been in the Final Four just a couple of years ago. So I'm excited to see that as much passion as there is for hockey and basketball, that there's passion and capabilities for other sports also. And I've really enjoyed seeing that UVM has produced Olympians. That's one thing that that I didn't have too much at Albany. We had a UAlbany sprinter named Grace Claxton, who ran in the Olympics, in the last Summer Olympics in Rio. I want to say she ran for Puerto Rico. And it was great to talk to her about her Olympic experience. But here we gotten a chance to talk with Lloyd Carr is the old football coach at Michigan. It's going to come to me in a minute. But he did biathlon. He's from UVM. And I got a chance to talk to Ryan Gunderson, UVM men's hockey alum, who was playing in the Olympics this past year, or in 2018 in Pyeongchang. And Amanda Pelkey is one of our favorite guests, too. Yes. We've gotten a chance to talk to her many times. So I think maybe that's, again, not the biggest surprise, because UVM has good athletes. But to see their presence on the international stage has been really, really rewarding for me, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's exciting for everyone to see, I think.
And it's cool, and probably in your case, just being from Vermont, that Amanda is a Vermonter.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't just stop through UVM on the way somewhere. She's actually from here, and you know, she gives back to here and has her hockey camps here and things like that. So she's been someone that we've really enjoyed getting on.
And it's been exciting to see, like, our basketball programs be continuously good and start to gain some national, like, recognition, whereas, like, our women are not really right now, but the men... Definitely.
So yeah. I will ask you this, because this has been our biggest debate all year about UVM. Would you like to see them move conferences?
No, I don't think it would make sense to move into a conference, and even if it's more competitive and we might get some better games, we're not going to be at the top. And I like the winning feeling.
I like the winning feeling too. Do you find, though, the regular season, I don't want to say meaningless, but do you find yourself, like, let's just fast forward until March?
Yeah, you know, it really comes down to the conference tournament. I think everyone knows that.
Yep.
And it only really matters if you're really good. Yeah. And you're waiting to see, you know, are you going to be a 12 or a 13? And so, you know, it might matter a little bit. You know, this year when we played in Hartford, we were talking about Kansas, and we played Kansas at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
And I think that's a reason that we ended up playing in Hartford. And so I think that certain things can help us in the postseason with the regular season, but I don't think it makes sense to go to another conference just to get some harder games.
If you could interview one person in sports, who would it be?
A sports player?
Just anyone in sports.
Well, I love Erin Andrews.
Really? Why is that?
I like how she interviews, and I think that she's a woman and that's very successful in this industry, and I really respect that about her.
I have never met Erin Andrews. I've never spoken to her, but I have spoken to several prominent women who have been in these roles. Michelle Tafoya, who does NBC Sports, she's the sideline reporter on Sunday Night Football. She was great. I've had a chance to meet her twice. She was awesome, but I've never met Erin Andrews.
Yeah, she's definitely my like kind of inspiration when it comes to all of this.
Did you have one more question? I usually give the people a chance to answer three, and I don't usually ramble as long as I just did on the last two, but do you have a third question or anything else you're wondering about the business?
I mean, what's your dream job, ultimately? Ooh.
You know, I get asked this question on almost every podcast, and the answer is that for a long... I guess this is less of an answer as is my advice, my own personal advice to you. Is don't make yourself so short-sighted where you only have one specific goal and everything is about, we talk about UVM, you know, forget the conference, forget the regular season, like let's just get forward to the conference tournament. When I started in the business, my whole goal was just to get to Seattle. All I wanted to do was be in Seattle. I was from Seattle originally. All my favorite teams are Seattle. I wanted to be in Seattle. Like, I've spent my whole life trying to get everybody in the Northeast to care about Seattle sports, and no one does. So I was like, let me just get to Seattle and talk about Seattle sports with people who care. And everything I did was like a countdown to how can I get to Seattle. And eventually, once I moved here and I realized, look, this is a great job. It's close to home. The teams we cover are good. I enjoy living here. Like, it stopped being only about getting to Seattle. It was just like, just enjoy what you have now and enjoy where you are. And so I think the dream job for me is just to be in a place that I enjoy living, to where the job is good, where the people are nice, and where the sports are easy to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's,
totally get that.
That's kind of the key. Like, we're in a perfect place here with a lot of sports together to talk about. Look, there are some cities that might be bigger than Burlington where you only have one thing to talk about. And I don't think that would be very fun either.
Yeah.
So my advice to you is, have a goal to be good in the business, but don't just say you have to do one thing and let that consume you, because when I stopped doing that, I enjoyed it a lot more.
And now I'm actually also curious, this is kind of separate, but we feel so passionately about UVM basketball, and we feel like there's a very special feeling inside Patrick Gym. Coming from the outside, do you feel like Patrick Gym is like electric when you go in there, especially at a championship or something like that?
I do feel like it's electric. I do feel like there's something to be said for the intimate environment where everyone's kind of on top of you, or you know, you're on top of the court, the fans are there. I, like everybody else, sees that the demographic is older.
Yes.
I would like to see more students involved. I'd like to see more of the campus community involved. And it's a double-edged sword. Like, you want the townspeople involved, but you also want the students involved. But you don't want it to skew so far one way. Like, if only the students were involved and the town didn't care, I wouldn't like that either.
Yeah.
But right now, it's more that the town cares than the students. But you do feel that energy. I've been a part of now four consecutive America East title games, one at UAlbany and three at UVM. And you feel that energy in there all the time. But because of how UVM is constructed at Patrick Gym, you feel it even a little bit more because of how kind of intimate the setting is.
Yeah, I think we all feel like it's such a fun place to watch a basketball game.
It's a fun place to watch a basketball game. What I want them to do is come up, and I hope the UVM marketing people are listening, and this is possible. What I want them to do is let me shoot at halftime against Arnie, and I want to have a competition, and I want Arnie and me to go against each other at halftime on the court at Patrick Gym so everyone can see him miss. And I want them to have the Brady, Rich, and Arnie bobblehead collection.
That, and start selling it at the bookstore?
No, they don't even need to sell it. They just give it away to the first 1,000 fans. So they get you can give away the Brady one game, the Rich one game, and the Arnie one game. And then you could sell a 3-game ticket package where people can go and try to get all three.
I think that we would have people lined up outside the door.
Well, we're working on, I want that to happen at the Lake Monsters. And if they won't do it, then I'm going to make it UVM. And if they won't do it, someone else could do it. But the Brady, Rich, and Arnie bobblehead series needs to happen. Maddie, I'll let you out of here on this because I got one more question for you. If you could have UVM basketball play one team in Patrick Gym, who would it be?
I would like to play Duke.
Okay.
I think
with Zion or without Zion?
Well, without Zion.
Okay.
But I mean, as cool as it would be to watch Zion in Patrick Gym, he might shatter another shoe. But I think we almost beat him. We lost to him by one a few years ago.
A couple years ago, yeah.
And I want a rematch.
You happy with the Virginia matchup next year, though? You're going to play the reigning national champions.
I am super excited about that. I think, you know, UMBC beat them. We beat UMBC. Anything can happen.
Do you travel to a lot of UVM games or just Milwaukee?
Yeah, so we went to we went to Milwaukee. We went to Hartford this year.
Okay.
And then I went to the Albany game, the first conference game.
The one they won by about 50.
Yep, that was a great. It was just a feel-good game. And then we are going to the Mohegan Sun tournament this year.
Very cool. Good thing you're not old enough to gamble, because I've been to Mohegan Sun, and the game will be more enjoyable than the rest of Mohegan Sun.
Yep. And we travel a ton. We go to as much as we possibly can.
Maddie Amati, eighth grader in the Essex Junction School District, UVM super fan and future super sports broadcaster. So, Maddie, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.